champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full sack.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, Melbourne. All you sport fans out there and all you AFLX fans out there, welcome to another big episode of the Sports Desk, of course, on Sin 90.7. Of course, you are here with Michael and Neve on a big Friday morning of sport. There is a lot happening in the world of sport. Neve, welcome. You excited?
I'm so excited. I love Friday mornings and I love sport.
You love sport. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. This is awesome. Of course, we've got a lot to talk about today, of course. The agenda is looking quite packed. Hopefully, we can get through it all. Of course, the AFLW is another big round is coming up. This is going to be absolutely sensational. A lot of teams, season on the line kind of stuff. If they don't pull through, they will not make the granny. And talking about grannies, the AFL X Grand Final.
Wow.
Wasn't that exciting? Did
so
you like
rude.
The silverware, Neve?
I didn't actually. I had footy training last night, so I didn't get home in time to see the silver ball. But Dad said, he's like, is that a smaller ball? He's like, it looks smaller. I don't know if it's smaller or not. And he said it looks stupid. Mm-hmm. And yep. So this is like this Dad's opinion. I have no opinion on it.
This is just Neve's dad's opinion,
And
for all those lovers out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then by the time I got home, they'd swapped to the yellow ball. So it looked pretty normal. But I saw like a bit of the replays and stuff with the silver ball. And I got to admit, it just looks like it's a bit gimmicky. It looks like the, like, you know, the balls that they sign and they hand out to
that's
the kids
right.
at the
that's
end.
What, yeah. That's what I thought they were using. In fact, I thought they ran out of balls and they were just using Auskick ones, to
yeah,
be honest
just
with
forgot,
you.
Like, oh,
I thought they would have been better off using the green Auskick balls, to be honest, the ones that are a little bit more fluorescent. But anyway, that's that was their little trial thing, and I think even the broadcasters last night were laughing at the massive X that was given to the winning AFL X Grand Finalist side.
I think they said that like Limo knocked it up at halftime or something.
I think
like
he
that.
Did. I think he did. I think he did a George Bailey. I think he tried to donkey kick it in half, and he did pretty well with that. So it's an interesting looking trophy, but obviously we won't scrutinise the sport too much because it will be on tonight at Etihad Stadium. We'll review that a little bit later on. But also on our agenda, of course, we're going to be talking Winter Olympics as well. The Australians are equal to their best medal tally at the moment with 3 medals, which it doesn't sound like a lot, but considering Australia doesn't get a hell of a lot of snow, not the worst effort, and there was a lot of great efforts, which we will be discussing as well, of course. In the cricket as well, some of the Ashes venues have been named for the 2023 Ashes. Pretty much the same as the 2019 Ashes, so not too big of a surprise there. And, of course, we'll be recapping the AB medal where, of course, Steve Smith did claim the grand prize. And we're going to be talking a little bit of NBA as well with Ben Simmons saving the 76ers again, as he so often does. So, Neve, we're going to get straight into it. Let's get into the AFLX because it seems to be a brand new concept by the AFL that that aired for the very first time last night. We had Bristol, and we also had Brayshaw there. So already a combination that have been together for quite a while on Triple M. They were taking their broadcasting across to the AFLX, and I thought it worked pretty well. I thought they were quite entertaining.
Look, I love Brian Taylor.
He's
like,
great.
I feel like a lot of, you know, you can, there's a lot of things you can knock him about, but he's so enthusiastic. He just loves what he's doing.
He loves the footy.
He's very enthusiastic. Somebody tweeted last night at Jordan WW, oh, sorry, Jordan W. White. He said, just give credit where it's due. Having Brian Taylor massacring sport commentary is like slipping into a warm bath. And it's so true. Like, you hear his voice and you're like, this is...
Someone's got my back. Someone's got the soap. Someone's got the shampoo. Someone's got the bath bomb.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll tell you one word that BT absolutely loves now. I think it might be his new favourite word besides Arazial Fantasia, is Zupa. Zupa goal. I don't know what the official count was. I'm sure someone on Twitter has actually gone on there and said he said Zupa goal this many times. Or I'm sure Zupa Dupa have paid him a certain amount of time so he can say it. But he did like the word. He was quite fond of it.
It's just every word that he says is pure like, it's art.
It is art.
Brian Taylor's commentary is art, and I will not hear anything to the contrary.
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, Zupa Dupa being the sponsor, and of course, if you kick the ball from outside the 50 or the 40, I don't know.
Yeah, the 40.
The 40 zone. It was counted as a 10-pointer, also known as a Zupa goal.
Yeah, the X for 10.
X.
Roman numerals.
I like that. I like that. It was. It kind of makes sense. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it'll be the only thing about AFL. I mean, AFLX is obviously to export overseas and to export up north where they don't have as many ovals. I feel like even in New South Wales and Queensland, they still got enough ovals for cricket.
Absolutely.
So they should have enough ovals for football. But I think it's predominantly for places overseas who might not be able to map out the oval shape. Because I know, like, the US league is pretty, like, although it's still, like, completely amateur, it is, like, thriving. There's no danger there, which I would have assumed the AFL would have looked maybe just to put money into it or something like that. But, but I guess their problem is that they can't, like, it must be hard to, like, trace out the oval sort of shape. So I suppose they can play this. But I guess AFLX to me just looked like a training drill.
It did.
It was nice to see, like, some of the new, like the younger players, like Harry Deer last night.
Harry Deer was great. Pretty good. Loved the hairstyle as well.
I said that. I said I love his hair. I wish I had curly hair like that. It would be so fun. But, Geelong's team was a bit funny because they're all old. There's no, like, really, like, young bloods for Geelong, even in their squads.
Playing in their regular season.
Yeah. Mark Blitzard's had a new hairdo, though. He looked like a new man.
Quite like it, yeah. A bit silky. Yeah,
exactly.
A couple of greys in there.
Exactly. I reckon he really tones it. That's what I was thinking.
I reckon he does.
He definitely tones it.
In between each interval, he was there just combing it off.
Combing in here. But, so I think, I mean, it's interesting, but I don't see it. I mean, they said last night on the commentary, like, oh, you know, people at the start of Big Bash said, like, that it wouldn't work, but now look at it, it's like this, like, fantastic juggernaut. But, like, I just don't see, we don't need, like, we never needed this to plug a hole. Like, we've already had, like, JLT, like, preseason comps for years and years and years. Like, when it was, like, the Wizard Cup and all that sort of stuff. And Set Cup at one point, I think.
That's right, I do remember that.
Yeah, what a throwback. And then, and then we've got, like, AFLW now, which, although I think that AFLW should eventually transition into normal winter time because, like, games that are only 15 minutes long because it's 37 degrees and like 60% humidity is like, it doesn't.
Very hard conditions.
Not
to play.
A summer sport. But, like, I think AFLW will eventually, I am of the opinion that it should eventually transition once it gets its legs sort of thing into the winter time. And that way as well, the women don't have to play two seasons of football during the year just to kind of like play football. We don't really need that. Like with the cricket finishing and then the JLT starting and like for the next couple of years, how we do have AFLW, it's like, I don't need more football.
No,
you know what I mean?
Really
especially
don't.
Like a weird hybrid football. And I'm like, oh wow. Like that's really like, you look at that player. Like the only game I'm particularly invested in is the one that my team's in because I want to see like, because we've picked, like, Bulldogs have picked, like, it's like Jack Redpath and, like, every teenager we have on the list.
I was going to say.
So I'm like, I want to see Uncle Jack take his kids out for the day. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right,
I
just, absolutely.
Like, that's exciting. But, and then, like, you can kind of, clubs now, like, you have enough access with social media to watch videos and watch interviews and
that's
hear
right.
what people are saying and stuff like that. It's not like I'm like, oh, my God, I've never seen what Aaron Norton even looks like. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't really, like, I don't see it taking off like the Big Bash does.
I
but,
don't
like,
think it will.
Like, I understand what it's for. Like, I understand that it is to export overseas and, like, with the whole China thing.
Yeah.
Apparently they're looking to take it to Hong Kong, places like America.
Gil said that about 18 times when he was having an interview.
Yeah. You know, and
it'd be great in Hong Kong.
Exactly. So, like, I understand what it's for. I just don't see it, like, taking off like, the Big Bash has because I just don't think it suits that format. Like, it just looked like small footy. Like, but it was just, like, up and down. The reason, like, the Big Bash works, I think, is because it's more exciting because it's, like, you can take bigger risks in Big Bash than you can in, like, Test or even, like, ODI cricket. So there's, like, more chances of sixes, blah, blah, blah. It's a bit more exciting. Like, you have international players coming in. So you get to see what they're like and, like, how, like, I mean, like, Jofra Archer was so good for the Hurricanes this year. But it's, like, we can't really get, if we're using our own clubs, we can't really get, we're not going to have international players come in. Like, if international players want to come and play footy, they'll come and play footy. Like, they're
That's
not going
right.
to do it for, like, AFLX. And I just think...
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you don't want to risk your own players. You don't want to risk your best players. And in fact, Adelaide, the squad that they had, they only had two players from their grand final side, and they're probably at the lower end. No offence to them, they're great players, but they're probably not in that upper echelon with, you know, Tex Walker and all those players.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I think because it's such a new concept, I think the AFL... a lot of those clubs, they don't actually risk those players because, you know, it is such a short format. And although there are unlimited rotations, you still don't want your players to be, you know, trying to transition between so many different codes. And then you got JLT as well. So
yeah, exactly.
I think they can market it overseas. I think the grounds overseas will certainly suit something like this.
And it's good for, like, marketing and overseas. You can be like, well, here are the best players. Like, here's what it's meant to look like. And then, like, you know what
that's
I mean?
Right, that's right.
Makes it look a bit more exciting. Whereas that's if you just, like, have, like, one of those... There's a few on YouTube with the AFLs put up, like, how to do this and how to do that. Like, that are a bit more, like, I suppose, dry. And they don't really have the best players and stuff like that. And, I mean, even though they are, like, a lot of them rookies and, like, debutants, it's still, like, a high quality of player.
That's
I just don't... There was never the demand...
No.
Like,
don't think there was.
And I think, I mean, the good thing about Big Bash is that it's every night and, you have the international players coming in. It's a bit more exciting.
Very exciting.
It kind of plugs the holes between, you know, ODIs and tests like that. But I don't see, like, there wasn't a hole. Like, we have cricket season, we have footy season. Like, there wasn't, like, a hole that needed filling.
Absolutely
I feel
not.
Like
no,
with AFLX, it's, like, the demand that wasn't there. For it.
That's correct.
No one was like, damn, I wish we had like a 7-a-side playing on rectangular field football for like 3 nights. Like, that's the thing, it's on for 3 nights.
Three
like,
nights.
I just don't understand.
That's it. And whilst the AFLW is happening.
Yeah,
as
well, that's the thing. I was like, oh, which AFLW actually... game is on tonight? And I looked at my phone. I'm like, there isn't one because of AFLX.
Exactly. Friday night, a Friday night game, which AFLX has done extremely well over the last two games, which we'll look at a little bit later on. And there's not a game on tonight. It's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, with AFLW.
And I mean, the AFLW is gaining momentum. You don't want to take that momentum away from the competition to give it to something
the
that...
The money,
that's right.
The money-entum.
That's right. So, and the AFLX is something you have to pay for. It's not like it's free entry, you know. You're seeing AFL contracted players.
Yeah, exactly.
AFL
well, it was pretty much
players.
Free entry, I think, by the end of it.
I think so. And look, it's similar to the Super Bowl and to the T20, there's that whole entertainment factor. You know, they're lining up all the different goalposts with rainbow colours. You know, they've got funny kind of stances by the AFL goal umpires. You've got, you know, one team warming up at one end. I mean, we'll see it tonight. Yeah. By the sounds of it, that Eddie had, it's going to be more kind of like a fanfare kind of thing with, you know, a kid's corner at one end of the ground and the other team warming up at the other end. So it'll kind of be like a continuous thing. But it more or less sounds like just your local footy round robin.
Yeah,
you know?
It did remind me a bit of, like, doing school sports and stuff. But, like, I don't know. I feel like if kids enjoy it, it has potential.
It does have potential, absolutely.
I was at the station this morning and I could hear these, like, there must have been, like, year 7 or 8 boys talking about it. And I was, like, trying to listen in. I'm like, what are the punters
want? What are they saying? What's the public saying?
Trying to communicate. I wanted to go up to them and be like, so, like.
So,
but
you like
so one of them was like, oh, you know, but it did, like, but this was cool. And then the other kid was like, yeah, but, like, the scoring's weird and I just don't understand it. Like, I don't want it. So I suppose, like, you know, I feel like, young, like 12, 13-year-olds are a good market, and if they're not liking it, it's probably not worth it.
But you know what? thinking back to it, Niamh, you know, if you think about, you know, a lot of number issues, particularly with, you know, people showing up to AusKick, you know, if they want to lower the numbers, they could actually try and introduce an AFLX kind of format too. Because I know a lot of AusKick. Particularly with our AusKick, we played at a place called Cross Keys, which is mostly soccer ovals, a whole lot of soccer ovals. You can still play that format on there with a less number of people and still teach the rules because they're relatively easy to understand, and it requires less numbers. So it could kind of be transferred over to a younger audience or even younger footy clinics, and it probably refines your skills a little bit more. You need, obviously, a bigger tank to play AFLX because you are covering more of the ground in a shorter period of time. The ball is moving a lot more. It only takes 2 or 3 kicks to get to your forward 40. And it probably also showcases... I reckon someone like Sev Rocker would have been amazing at this format because he can unload a barrel from probably 60 or 70 metres.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think the AFL are encouraging. They're encouraging players to kick the ball further, to try and have these crazy shots at goal. I mean, imagine if they had like a kind of an Ackermanis factor where if you were in the pocket and you snapped something amazing, it's worth 20 points or something. You know?
Yeah, true. Just turn into a fool.
I think it's just like an entertainment game. But to be honest with you, the only thing I would change, oh, there's a few things I would change, but one of the main ones is I reckon you've got so many different clubs included in this format. I reckon it would be okay if it was like a Victoria versus All Stars, or like a state of origin kind of format.
Two birds, one stone.
That's right. State of origin. You get the best players from each state. That's right. I'm going to petition this. I'm going to take this to the office.
Idea. When Gil announces next AFLX is a state of origin. You heard it here first. You heard it here on 90.7 Sportsdesk.
You heard it first here. Yeah. I reckon a state of origin would work well. And if the stakes were higher for it and it was being played once every year, maybe at the end of the season or at the start of the season, like a curtain raiser for the AFL season, the AFL regular season. I mean, State of Origin used to be popular anyway, you know, when Fev used to kick 9 or 10 goals or whatever. It used to be exciting to watch. So you bring that back, you might get more crowds. You might get bigger crowds, you know.
Yeah, well.
We'll see what happens.
Exactly. Well, that's the next great challenge. So it's kind of like, oh, this is what we think of it now. But I suppose we can all be either proved wrong or proved right in the coming years.
That's right. And it'll be interesting to see how Etihad Stadium works tonight. They're expecting 20,000 people here tonight. So we'll see how many they do end up getting. And we'll see if it actually works at Etihad, because Etihad is a big stadium. So we'll have to see whether the viewing audience like it, they agree with it. We'll be talking about it on Monday anyway to see how it goes. But we will get to a song now. And when we do return, we will be talking about the proper AFL, the AFL at the moment that's catching everyone's eye, of course, the AFLW, which we will be talking about very, very soon. And we will be previewing round three, which it's incredible. We're up to round three. Unreal. It's incredible.
Almost halfway.
Almost halfway there. So a lot at stake this round. And we are back. Welcome back to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM, of course, with Michael and Neve on a wonderful Friday morning. Isn't life terrific right now with the sport happening at the moment? And we're going to move straight into the AFLW, the AFL everyone's talking about for all the right reasons as well. And we kick off proceedings on Saturday, Feb the 17th at 1:35 p.m. with the Adelaide Crows, the reigning premiers. Who would have thought their backs would have been against the wall and staring down the possibility of not even making the grand final, up against, probably you could say, close to one of the, well, at least one of the AFLW final favourites, the Western Bulldogs. Your team,
my team,
Neve, and you look absolutely...
I'm so happy. Well, this morning I went to a yoga class and I had my little Bulldogs drink bottle with me, and I was wearing my little Melbourne Uni top, and this lady who had been behind me the whole time, so like I apologised to her, number one, like downward dog, right in her face. And I was like, and she was like, oh, do you play for the Bulldogs? And I was like, no, like you just saw me fall over like 5 times trying to do my tree pose. Like,
I do.
Yeah, be like, I should have been like, yep, I'm off to Adelaide straight away after this. So, you know, they're really, I'm so, like, I just must emit an aura of Bulldogs. Wow. I mean, my drink bottle was there, but like, you know what I mean?
You should have
convincing
went along with
enough.
It,
yeah, I should have.
You should have.
A lady one time asked me if I played for Melbourne as well in the gym. And I was like, no. She's like, I swear, you just look really like... And I'm like, well, I've got brown hair. Like, I look like a lot of them.
So what drink bottle are you bringing to yoga next week?
An AFLX one.
An AFLX one. Very good. Yeah, they may think you're an umpire. Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah,
very good.
Now, obviously, you're very excited about this game. Adelaide up against the Doggies. Now,
I would say more anxious than excited.
Anxious, yeah. And I know we had a very strong Richmond supporter on this show when we were doing the season last time. She always tipped against Richmond because she didn't want to put any bad omens on them.
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed to work. They won the grand final. So
see? And I tipped Brisbane last week and Bulldogs won.
And the Bulldogs won. So I think I know who you're going to be tipping this
week.
Adelaide. But that's right. But this is a big clash for both sides. The Doggies are winless. They've got all the wins on the board.
So many wins.
You got a great percentage by the looks of it as well.
Yeah.
And you're second on the ladder, rivaling a injury depleted Carlton, who still look like the front runners at the moment. You've got some good players back in. Jessica Anderson, of course, replaces the first overall selection from last year's NAB AFL Women's Draft. Of course, Izzy Huntington went down with that terrible ACL injury.
Yeah.
Of course, won't be out. We'll be out.
There
for
was
rest
a
of
lot
season,
of yelling in my house when that happened. It's like the classic Bulldogs ACL curse. Like, I want to know how, like, of like across all the clubs, which club has had the most ACL injuries? Which ones were the also like extra points for like devastating like emotion, like Bob Murphy's probably. That springs to mind. And just like I just my childhood was marred by ACLs, and now my young adulthood is being marred by ACLs, and I just I've had enough.
Sad. It is sad. You've had enough. You've had enough. And I was reading a report this morning that that women AFLW players and women players in sport do have a 5-time more risk of getting an ACL
like,
injury
people
than,
who are like,
than any other athlete, which is tough.
If you get your
it's really tough.
Yeah, with the female chromosomes and you,
yes,
your body grows in
they
a different
do.
Sort
in a different
of way.
Way.
And so
the hips are differently aligned.
Yeah, so if you are predisposed to carrying and ejecting babies,
that's right.
Your pelvis
great way
and your
to
exactly.
Wow.
Your pelvis and your that's hips right. are going to be set further apart, and the way it's like they call it a Q shape or something like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the way like your knees go in. Netball Australia has like a knee program to practice that.
That's
like
cool.
I know personally at our footy training we do like a heap of prehab being like, okay, everybody squeeze. We have to do this thing where we lie down and squeeze one glute at a time, which is like a really cute thing.
That's nice.
And then and then like I've got my own knee issues, so like I go see the physio and she gives me all this stuff. Like I have to do this thing where like you jump up on a step and you jump down and you wear a band to make sure you're pushing your knees out and all this sort of stuff to make sure that when I do land, like when I'm playing, that my knee doesn't like.
But
move
I was gonna
like
say, Nathan, in the heat of a moment, like during a game, is there much awareness put into the athletes? And I am curious about this: whether they would actually, with that landing on the knee, whether they would be conscious of that.
I think it's
playing.
You have to do so much prehab that you don't have to be conscious of it. So
it's
like,
kind of just a
if I've practiced,
thing.
Yeah, jumping up and down so many times that like when I do it, my body
that's
is
right.
used, especially
it's
like pushing
it.
The band out. Because when I'm like at the gym or whatever, and I'm practicing it. And I'm pushing the band out. Like when I do land, if I'm playing in the game, my knee's going to automatically go out because that's what it's used to. But and also like with hormone stuff, ligaments become more like, I think they're looser. So you have to be careful if you are playing while pregnant, I think, and at like different points of your cycle, you've got to be watched. Like you have to be so careful.
Yeah.
Because you're like the hormones are going to make your like ligaments looser. So there's like a few other. There's like so many reasons why people who like you know, do have like larger pelvises and stuff for babies.
Correct.
Have to do that. So it's it's interesting.
It is.
And I think it's odd as well. Well, the whole problem, like with the netballers, like that's their full time job and
correct.
Stuff like that. With the female players, that it isn't. So. I'm still surprised that the AFL kind of didn't have like a, they could have just been like, hey, Netball Australia, do you mind if we pinch this? Like, whatever. Do that sort of thing. Because like you are aware of it and you do know you have to do it, but
that's
like
correct.
There's just not enough. If you're an AFLW player and you've got to go to work and you've got to go and do your regular stuff at the
that's
gym
right.
that you've been given, like when are you going to have time to fit in
correct.
Like this extra knee stuff? Like if you, especially if someone, like I've got bad knees, so like I have to do extra stuff. If somebody else who has bad knees or someone like Isabel Huntington who did her left ACL during her junior career, now it's her right ACL. But, you know, at least at the Bulldogs, she's got a heap of people she can talk to about
absolutely.
Doing multiple ACLs.
Absolutely.
I mean, Bob Murphy's not there anymore, but he did 2. Jack Redpath's done 3. Clay Smith's done 3. Rock Smith's done 2. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's so many ACL injuries. There's heaps
they should
of people
have a
she
little,
can talk
they
to.
Have a little
Daria Bannister.
Group, yeah.
Yeah, Daria Bannister, another female player, did hers the week before. So, like, we've got so many people with heaps of experience that you can talk to. About doing your ACL.
For all those listeners out there, if someone would like to put together a group, maybe on Facebook or a little community group, maybe down at Witten Oval or even at Williamstown, shout out to you. Get on the initiative. Do it because I think certainly Izzy needs some good people around her to get her through.
Yeah.
Because it is tough.
Yeah,
it's very,
be,
very hard.
But yeah, unfortunately for her. But Jessica Anderson comes in.
Correct. And talking about returning players, Neve.
Yes.
Who is one of the biggest ones coming back for this game?
Well, Jess Anderson is basically like the in and out. She plays for Melbourne Uni as well in the VFLW. So it's one mugger in, one mugger out, which is nice. She was at Melbourne the year like last year, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And she was delisted, I believe, at the end. And we picked her up as a free agent.
Very good.
She's another tall forward. She's good. She's athletic. She's strong. She had some injury troubles during last year in the VFOW, but she seems to be all over that now and ready to play, ready to take on Adelaide,
yes.
kick a bunch of goals. So it's going to be good.
And, of course, one of the big players coming back for the Crows will be. Erin Phillips, their inspirational leader, the lady who can do it all.
Yes.
Really.
I knew it. When she was injured and then she didn't play last week, I'm like, she's going to come back when she plays the Bulldogs, because that's just our luck that we get Erin Phillips back.
Right.
And I was like, she's going to be so hungry and ready to like pull them forward and tear them up, especially at home at Norwood. So I was like, it's going to be so fun. So hopefully we can get somebody to her. I think the best thing to do is like tag her out and make sure Blackburn and Carney are getting the ball first and getting
that's
it clear, because I mean, that's the thing. She can push up forward and everything, and she can defend as well. But like, I reckon if we can like you're never going to cancel her out completely.
No.
But kind of like nullify her as much as possible, and then if we can get the ball to our midfielders, like clear it out first, because I think Blackburn and Carney, although they don't kind of come with like the prestige of being Erin Phillips, they're just like they're just as good, and they're just. Like, they accumulate, I think, more of the ball, but I think that had more to do with the Bulldogs. Like, if you look at the stats from last season, that had more to do with the rest of the Bulldogs team than, like, Erin Phillips and Adelaide last year. Mm. But, like, we definitely have the personnel to match them. It is, like, Courtney Cramie's still out, so that's still something, like, you know, they've still got one of their best players out as well. But watching them against Melbourne last week, I was like, this is a bit more, like, if they need Erin...
They
didn't look too bad, but they just look like they were always second to the ball, and
that's
they weren't
right.
quite
that's
there.
Right.
Like,
they got
Melbourne
outclassed.
Looked like... Yeah, I think that if Bulldogs come hungry and we come ready to kind of, like, really push them, we'll be all right, because I think unless Erin Phillips is even more influential than we previously thought, I don't... That, like, the rest of the team has to lift. Like,
that's
she
correct.
Can't... They can't lift with her. Like, they've got to... you know, do it as well themselves. But we'll see how it goes.
We'll see what
happens. Still
top in
Adelaide.
That's right. Adelaide, even though they're bottom of the ladder, you wouldn't rule them out being the big premiers last season. Now we move to Icon Park on Saturday night, where Carlton come up against Brisbane Lions. Of course, Brisbane Lions coming off that loss to the Doggies last week, because Carlton having a very gritty win against the GWS Giants, but losing their main leader in Bree Davey to that terrible injury as well, quite wet underfoot at the Oval at GWS, which made things difficult. Taylor Harris has been named, which is a bit of a surprise to some people, considering she went down with what seemed to be a bit of a shoulder injury. But she will want to be back against her old side this week, you would imagine.
Yeah, I can't see her being like, oh, no, I'll sit this one out. Like, oh, I'm a bit sore. Like, I think she'll probably, if she needs to, just, like, get jabbed and get out there sort of thing.
That's right. Bit of a sore shoulder.
Yeah,
that'd be all right.
And, like, she's been managing it for a while as well, so I feel like, unless it was something particularly serious and something... And that's the other thing. With such a short season, it's like, can you push through for another 5 weeks, yes
that's
or no?
Right.
It's not like, oh, we better, like, you know, with the men's, it's like, well, you'll have 2 weeks off, we'll get it right, and then you can come back. Like, if you have 2 weeks off in the women's, like, that's half... Well, maybe not half your season, but, like, a good chunk of your season gone. So I think if they can, she'll just push through for the whole season, because Carlton are a good chance, I think, but it'll be interesting to see how Brisbane go, because they played well against Adelaide. You know, just the Bulldogs are just so good, so, you know, we really don't haven't seen the real Brisbane. But, like, I think Sabrina Frederick-Traub was kept pretty quiet by Lawrence Bark, and a little bit of Libby Birch as well last week, so I feel as though she'll be, like, ready to go as well. And without, I mean, they've got Nick Stevens, but they don't have that support again from Bree Davey, who can push for mid and back and stuff. So it'll be interesting to
be
see
interesting
how they go.
To see
with
how
Sab.
They do play. That's correct. And they have brought in tall forward Catherine Gillespie Jones, which is interesting because she could almost be a replacement for Taylor Harris if she does happen to be omitted on the day.
Yeah.
If anything does go wrong, and also speedy forward Katie Jane Grieve, which will be interesting as well. So. Blues, I'm probably tipping them in this, but only just. I don't know if probably Brisbane would be pretty hungry to get some revenge.
Yeah, I think so. And like Bella Eyre, who was one of Carlton's Rising Stars nominees last season, it was in the Taylor Harris trade, has gone back up. Like, is playing for Brisbane now, and she's going to come down and play for Brisbane against Carlton. That's getting there with my sentence. It's a bit rough. So Bella Eyre, part of the trade with Nat Exon, who may have noticed sporting a beautiful, like, paddle pop line mullet in the game last weekend. I believe she's cut it, like, they've cut it like that. So then for World's Greatest Shave is going to shave off the mullet. I think it's
how did you describe it? A paddle pop?
Paddle pop lion.
Paddle pop lion.
That's what it is.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so it looks pretty good.
That's great.
And so her and Bella Air playing against the old side as well. I think especially Bella Air, if she hasn't got a chance the first 2 weeks, she'll be, and she's a good player as well, and she'll be ready to go, especially having like some, a bit something to prove against Carlton, being like, oh, well, here's Taylor Harris. She's a bit injured, like could have had me sort of thing. So, you know,
you're tipping Carlton for this
brings
one?
Brings a bit of drama.
It certainly does.
I'll go against you and I'll tip Brisbane. Just
got to tip Brisbane,
Keep it interesting.
Keep things interesting indeed. Now we move to a game on Sunday, February 18th. Collingwood up against the Giants. 4:35, it's a bit of a twilight game at Olympic Park Oval. And this will be an interesting clash because both sides yet to break through and get a win for the season. So hopefully, despite a draw potentially, one of these sides should have a victory at the end of this game. And Mo Hope, she's back. Potentially, on almost, the extended bench.
Oh, it's almost as so if she should have been dropped in the first place.
She is a fighter. She is a fighter.
But I think it's, hopefully she plays well. She played well. I think she had one of her best games against GWS last.
She'll surely
this
be
time,
playing this,
like,
though.
The same kind of fixture last season. And it was a good game as well, GWS and Collingwood. And I think as well, like you were saying, both of them will be ready to break the duck. And I think, Meg Hutchins is back, Mo Hope is back, so it brings like a bit of experience as well. As well for, the Giants, Louise Stevenson has come back in and she is from Melbourne. So I imagine she'd have like a lot of family coming to the game. So that might fire her up a bit, like being not playing the first two rounds and then coming home.
May have
to
some
play.
Inside knowledge about Olympic Park. Potentially.
I don't know, but anyway.
The family might.
And the family might. She'll be all right. But yeah, so that's another incentive for her.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be a good match. I think GWS looked really good last week until it started raining and they just could not play in the wet. It was really odd. It seemed like they were like really, I mean, they scored the first goal fairly quickly and then obviously we had that massive thunderstorm. It all just kind of fell apart for them.
Capitulated since then. But yeah. Good news for Collingwood and GWS in particular. 26 degrees is expected on Sunday with a light sprinkling of clouds. So no rain is expected. However, this is
beautiful.
Melbourne, so who knows what will happen.
Yeah, it's going to change. Two whole days away.
Four scenes in one day. But hopefully for the GWS's sake, they don't get any rain. Who are you tipping for this one? It's tough, isn't it?
It is. This is a tough one.
If Mo Hope plays well, I'm backing in Collingwood.
Yeah, that's true. There's a clause to it. I think
she might do.
I think GWS, maybe.
Maybe. But they have been playing very well this season.
Yeah, if Collingwood's forward line can, like, get it together, then I would think Collingwood. But maybe I'll just go with GWS.
Collingwood did start very quick last week against Fremantle.
This is true.
If they continue
Chloe Malloy. Just every single time. She got picked on bad again by Freo. Like, they really came for her.
Really went after
which
her.
I know she's a talented player and it was her second and she's played
youngster.
Like seniors.
Go easy.
I am
never
a big fan of like picking on teenagers.
That's right.
I just feel like you can't look. It was like that when
Jake Watt's first game.
And I'm not like, I'm not the biggest like Jack Watts fan, but like, I like cringe when I think about it because it's like, imagine looking, and I mean, he was a boy. Like, he looks like a little boy.
There's about six Collingwood players that pounced on him.
Yeah, but
ridiculous.
Like, how can you look at like a child and be like, yep, I'm just going to tear through him. Like, and that's a similar thing with Chloe. And I know it's different. Like, Chloe Moore's been playing seniors. She's like, I think she's 19, not 17, like Jack Watts was. But like, and I'm not saying that it was to the level of what happened to Jack Watts. But like, I just like the idea of, and I know it's football and like all's, like, you know, it's on the field and everything like that. But I just can't imagine like looking at like a teenager and being like, that's the person we're going to pick on. Like, go and pick on one of the other Collingwood players. You know what I mean? Like,
there's plenty of them to choose from.
Exactly. It just, I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. It's a little bit distasteful in the game.
I think there was a reprimand and suspension from the Fremantle players for picking on her.
Well, that's good to hear. But I'll tell you what, one player.
It's just not very like in the spirit of the obviously it's a contact sport and obviously it's like a physical sport and you've got to be aggressive and stuff like that, but you don't have to be aggressive at the youngest person on the field.
That's right, that's correct. But one person that I think Fremantle will be targeting this week, one person that they will need to go after and will probably need to limit their influence, will of course be Daisy Pierce's team Melbourne, where they go up against each other at Fremantle Oval in WA. So Fremantle Oval, is that the same as Optus Oval?
No.
I don't know if it is. I don't think it
definitely
is.
Definitely not.
But good to see that this game
Perth
will be on
Stadium
7, mate.
Not in Fremantle.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But it's good that it's nice and local.
Yeah.
Fremantle is a lovely city. And let me tell you, when I was there in 2013, the purple haze was all around the town.
Oh,
and we're hoping it'll be the same. Even purple sausages they were selling as well.
No way.
Which I probably wouldn't consume in my lifetime. But certainly that was something that was being sold. So certainly they get around the purple when they're up and about. But Fremantle are up and about. They got a very, very good win last week, of course, led by Dana Hooker, who was just sensational. And but they're going to have to be on their best game here because Melbourne, they're red hot.
Yeah, Melbourne, I think, I mean, I know they're not top of the ladder, but I think they're the team to beat at the moment.
For sure.
But at the same, like, Fremantle didn't look too bad. Like, they really
they
got onto it. And I think, I'm just looking up Fremantle over now, it's a capacity of 17,500. So if they can get that pretty well full, I think it'll be pretty intimidating for Melbourne.
That's
because
right.
Melbourne do have like a pretty strong contingent at home.
They do.
They haven't travelled yet, to the best of my knowledge,
no.
But I could be wrong. Fremantle have had like the good win at home and they've stayed home during the week. And
That's
like
right.
It's a big trip over from Perth. Like, and
yeah, besides playing the Doggies at home, I think, yeah, all their other games so far have been at home. They played the Doggies, obviously, at round one.
Witten Oval, yeah,
Witten
and then
Oval,
they went back home to Perth Stadium, and now they're at Fremantle Oval.
Feeling very comfortable now.
Yeah, I think, like, they would have kind of got into it a bit more, and, like, they didn't get a win till later in the season last year. I think getting
right.
a win would really help, like, is really going to help them get it together, and, I think, I mean, Melbourne still are so good, but...
They are.
Because, I feel like they get a lot from the crowd as well, because I think a lot of people whose like AFL men's club does not have a women's team, if they live in Melbourne, they're a good team, they've got Daisy Pierce, like they get around Melbourne sort of thing. Whereas obviously in Fremantle, I imagine it would be predominantly Fremantle supporters. So
you can only assume.
You know, exactly.
How many West Coast supporters are we getting down?
Not professing to be the football genius just yet, but
not
like,
yet.
I think, but I think that'll help. I think Fremantle will play well, but like, I think I'm just going to, I've said it, I think 1,000 times because I'm really thinking about this and I think that Melbourne will still win. So I'm going to put my tip on Melbourne.
So will I. And I want to see some more spectacular goals from Newman as well.
Oh,
that's
true.
I'm saying,
oh,
Newman. No, she was outstanding. That was incredible. Goal of the year. I don't know how someone's going to catch that. It's Buddy Franklin-like.
Yeah, true. And it was better than his, what's the one against Adelaide last season?
Well,
where
I mean,
he ran,
Bruce McAvaney just was lost for words. Just went, that's just...
It's not possible because he
ran
like 25 metres without bouncing the ball. Newman remembered to bounce the ball every 15. So
she did.
Takes... I mean, it's not quite the one with...
It's a very legal goal.
Exactly.
Let's put it that way.
That's the thing. It was just, I wish that the girl chasing her had like the kind of like Cale Hooker expression. Like, that's okay. We can only ask for so much.
Well, being an Essendon supporter, that still hurts my soul.
Oh, good. Can't be as bad as Cale Hooker's haircut.
No, it can't.
Though, so.
No, he can't chase anyone. But that is the recap. Well, sorry, the preview for this round. It's going to be an interesting. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I feel like we've already seen another goal of the year contender, but hopefully we do. It's going to be an interesting round. But we must crack on to a song because we've got so much more sport to talk about coming up after this break. Of course, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Winter Olympics. A lot happening over there at the moment with the Aussies claiming some silverware and some bronzeware. Not some goldware as yet, but it will just be a matter of time. Fingers crossed. We're already equal on our medal tally, so hopefully we can get a few more as well. So that's all of that and a bit more after this. And welcome back to the Sports Desk on SYN 90.7 FM. Of course, you are joined here by Michael and Neve on a marvellous Friday morning. And of course, we are talking all sports, every single sport that we can think of. That's it to importance. And we move straight to South Korea, where the Winter Olympics are currently underway. And it is so, so exciting to know that big man from Australia, the 22-year-old Sydney Ryder, who has already endured 5 knee injuries, has claimed Australia's 3rd medal of the Olympics with silver in an insane, and when I say insane, I don't use the word insane lightly, but it was an insane snowboard cross event, which was very, very exciting as well. I watched the entire race. See, I don't watch a lot of Winter Olympics, Neve, but for this event, Jared Hughes was absolutely electrifying, and he managed to scrape in the semi-final. In fact, because I wasn't too accustomed to what was going on, when big man, I think he's, what was his name? Pullen. Have you ever heard of Pullen?
I saw
Alex
him.
Alex Chumpy Pullen.
Chumpy.
I don't know how he got the little mustache.
Yeah, I was watching it. I
tried to do some research last night to find out where the nickname came from. Apparently, parents gave it to him back in the day.
His parents?
Parents gave it to
Chumpy.
Him.
Chumpy.
And then, of
That's
course,
rough.
I know, very rough, right? I mean, typical Sydney suburban kind of family, but Chumpy ended up coming first in the semi. I thought it was the gold, and I was on the treadmill. I'm jumping up and down, screaming for joy, going, "We won a gold medal! We won a gold medal!" As it turns out, it was just a semi-final.
Then you were rejected from the gym, and then you couldn't watch the race,
and we ended up crashing out in the final. But look, Pullen and Hughes advanced with one of the Australians crashing out, and it did look a little bit rough. It looked like he did something to his neck, but thankfully he was okay. Pullen, already a 2-time world champion, fortunately not getting an Olympic medal as yet in his first games. Crossed the line, 15th overall, but look, unfortunately couldn't get the job done, but Hughes was great. Voltaire, though, the Frenchman, after crashing out in the semi-final and then managing to recover and finish third, ended up finishing first in the final, which makes no sense to me. If you crash out, you should just be disqualified, you know? Even if you do finish the race, you know, just give it to the Australians already. Come on. Why is there a semi-final and a final? There should just be one final, and the Australians should... Anyway, I'm a little bit stiff about it because I did get ejected from the gym. But anyway, that's all good. That's all good. That's all good. You must have been there. But look, the Australians are doing very, very well in the Olympics. And Hughes now joins the list of medalists from these Olympics, including mogul skier Matt Graham, who got a silver as well, and half-pipe snowboarder Scotty James, who won bronze. So we've got three. We haven't won more than three at the Olympics, so we will be rooting for the Australians to get a few more in the remaining few days of the Olympics, Neve.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's impressive, given how little snow we have and how bad the snow that we do have
is.
It's
shocking. It's
sludge. Compared to somewhere like Japan, any of the Scandi countries, that sort of thing. But yeah, I watched the race that Jared Hughes came through and claimed silver in, and he was so excited. Like the borders at the end were over the moon, and Pierre Voltaire, the Frenchman, he was very excited as well. He was like screaming his head off and sort of stuff. And I thought the interview
arrogant post,
yeah, typical French.
Typical
French people are wonderful.
And we've lost our French listeners.
And Jared Hughes. I thought it was funny at the end. They were interviewing his family, and they're all like crying and hugging and stuff.
Dead.
And she was like, she said something about, go and give him a hug or something. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, what are they going to do after the interview's finished? Like, yeah, that was good. See you, Jared. Like, we're going to have dinner. I'm like, I don't understand.
We've booked a French restaurant.
Yeah,
oh, no,
exactly.
Hopefully not.
We're actually going to have dinner with Voltaire.
Korean barbecue.
It was great. It's Winter Olympics are insane. Like,
they are, aren't they?
Just everything about
some
them.
Some of the crashes are great to watch. I'm sorry, but they are. Some of them are pretty
entertaining. Yeah, it's just, like, you just can't. How
the skiing still like
it looks fake and bad.
it does, and the looks like it's from like a PA sport game from like the mid 2000s. You know,
like who comes up with them? Like some of them are just
like what's the one where the players
curling?
Like practically curling? It's incredible. Shout out to Norway, by the way. They had some of the best looking pants going around. They had like these like fluorescent pink tropical pants.
Ooh, I have not seen this.
You should have a look at the image.
What is it? Is it the
listeners
pants
out
for
there,
curling?
Have a look at this. The pants for curling.
Here we go.
The Norwegian
if you type
team.
In Norway curling, the first thing that comes up is Norway curling pants. Oh my goodness!
How good are they? They're like these tropical pants. They look awesome. I'll tell you what. You reckon T20 needs to like get their act together with some of their uniforms? England, the England T20 team should have a look at those pants
these
and get inspired.
These are so fun. Oh Oh my goodness, they've got love hearts on them.
I know.
Was it for Valentine's? What's the?
It could well be, and there has been a lot of love circulating around for them. And hopefully, they're changing the game of curling because usually the players in curling just wear black.
If you Google Norway curling pants, there's a few wonderful.
There's a fair bit there, isn't it?
Wonderful outfits.
I reckon it's great.
Some of they've got these like suits that are the Norwegian. Flag colours, but like in zigzags and stuff. Oh,
wow.
It's incredible stuff.
Get around Norway.
I am around Norway.
Despite the fact that I'm a little bit pissed off that they pulled out their bid for the next Winter Games and now Kazakhstan or China have to host them, which will be interesting.
Kazakhstan. Does it snow in Kazakhstan?
Apparently it does.
Do you know Kazakhstan is the world's largest landlocked country?
That is something I didn't know. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, listening
out
there.
That's my one Kazakhstan fact.
Your one Kazakhstan fact, besides the billion ones that Borat does, but that's the thing. If Kazakhstan do host this, there's going to be that many Borat impersonations.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just going to be sad.
But apparently, as well with Kazakhstan, my other fact is they want to drop the stan because they don't want to be associated with the other countries that are, you know, not doing as well economically, or have been invaded. By America. So that's an interesting fact about Kazakhstan.
And talking about impersonations, there was a very strange impersonation at the Winter Olympics just recently. A man known as Howard dressed up as not only Donald Trump at the...
Oh, the Kim Jong-un impersonator?
...ceremonies, he also dressed up as Kim Jong-un just recently. Went in front of the North Korean fans, and they were actually a little bit bemused for a second.
The Korean national... United team as well. I don't know. I just feel like he's doing some bad stuff in that country.
He is.
Some of those people are probably deeply affected by it.
Very.
But you know what? I mean, you can dress up as who you want, but like, it doesn't mean I have to think it's funny.
Exactly. And one of the funniest comments I heard from him afterwards said, "Hey, feel sorry. Spare a thought for me. I was born with this face. I've got to live with it."
Called Howard as well. So he's got to do what he's probably
got to do. What he's got to do. So just to recap, the medal tally: Germany currently lead with 9 golds, 2 silvers, 4 bronze, 15 altogether, and Norway with 17 medals, 6 gold, 7 silver. You know, they love coming second, and 4 bronze as well. Netherlands are third, the USA are fifth, and Canada. Oh, sorry, USA are fourth and Canada are fifth. So it looks like most of the snow-dominated countries are in there. Australia with 0 gold and 3 gold medals, 3 medals altogether. I'm getting ahead of myself there. We're only one place behind Japan, so that's pretty cool. And only 2 places behind Korea as well. So that's pretty cool, I reckon. Now, just to recap a little bit more sport in the world of sport, because there has been a lot of sport going on, Neve. In the cricket, of course, the AB medals was on Wednesday night, or was it Tuesday? Monday night. Alan Border medalist, of course, was Steve Smith. The Test Player of the Year was Steve Smith. ODI Player of the Year, a little bit controversially, was David Warner.
Yeah, it's the ODI Player of the Year, the year entire.
Not for the recent series.
Yeah. The timing of the medal was bad.
Very bad.
In that respect, for David Warner.
So how do you feel like your form is at the moment, Dave? Could be better.
Like, I feel like they should have done that. Good. You know in Mean Girls where she snaps the tiara and gives it to the other ones? That's what David Warner should have done.
Should have done. Gave the rest to Steve Smith, I think, if he had enough hands. Not
that good in limited overs.
No,
I would give
wasn't.
It to, like, I don't think anyone, like, you know, shone, but no. I don't think David Warner hits a 4 and then is immediately out should necessarily get the medal. But
I'll tell you what does deserve half a tiara. Chris Lynn for singing Horses at the post party as well. He was very, very impressive.
That seems like a really Chris Lynn thing. That just makes sense. I didn't hear about that, but that just like, I'm like, yep, that's Chris Lynn.
It was quite impressive. I think the Snapchat story was released to the wider world, to the Greenfield Post, who were always on that kind of stuff. And so that was very impressive. To recap some of the other awards for the night, Men's Domestic Player of the Year was George Bailey. So he's been very consistent, changed his stance from what it used to be. You may remember his stance. It was quite far out of the crease and just wasn't the best-looking thing to watch. Wasn't the easiest treat for the eye. Of course, the female domestic player of the year was Beth Mooney. Had an outstanding domestic season. T20 international player of the year, Aaron Finch, did very well at the start of the ODI series, actually, with a lot of two centuries and a couple of 50s in there. But, boy, he can hit a big ball. Betty Wilson, young cricketer of the year, goes to Georgia Redmayne. Know a bit about her No, that's okay. That's okay. Well done to her. And Bradman Young Cricketer of the Year, Joy Richardson. Well done to him as well. Speedy, next Mitchell Johnson, some people are saying, or at least I'm saying that. And Belinda Clark Award, of course, goes to the all-incumbent Elise Perry. What can't she do right now? She was sensational, particularly during the Women's Ashes as well, where she got that big 200, that big double ton. She was sensational. So there's all the recap for the AB Medal Night there as well. That's just about all we've got time for, I think.
Definitely.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
I think we've covered it all. And I think go sport at the moment. Will you be watching the AFLX tonight, Neve?
Yes, because I have... no life. No. look, the problem with AFLX is that it's footy, and so I'll watch it, and I'm a sucker, and I'm
doing... I feel like I am as well.
But like Saturday night when the AFLW is on, I don't think I hope, if I have any faith left in humanity, that the AFLW viewership will be. But I suppose it won't be on free-to-air, though, the AFLW, because they've got AFLX on free-to-air.
That's right. But anyway, hopefully there will be some games on 7, mate, which will be accessible for all of our lovely audience out watch the games. It's going to be a great round of footy as well. And just quickly, I just got a quick message from a Swiss person, someone who's a very proud Swiss, loves their chocolate. Roger Federer has kicked off his world ranking summit bid with a 2-set win over Ruben Bermelmans at the Rotterdam Open. So that just means now that the Swiss maestro needs to reach the semi-finals to become world number one again. He's world number two currently, and he's not too far away, the 36-year-old evergreen Swiss maestro. So thank you to my Swiss friend out there, wherever you are.
Swiss correspondent.
Yes, who runs a very nice Swiss bank account. Anyway, won't get into that, but... well done, Roger Federer. Looking like he will get that world number one spot with Rafa a little bit injured at the moment. So that's all for our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day. Schools on Air is up next a little later on in the forecast. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you, Neve, again.
Thanks for having me. Good luck to everybody in their local games on the weekend.
And that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much. Enjoy your local games. Enjoy the footy. Thank you for joining us on the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7.